أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to another day of 110 Lessons for Life from the teachings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And today we turn our attention to the topic of gatherings, of places where a believer should and should not be going. Now, obviously this is a very vast topic in and of itself, and we won't be able to cover all of the aspects that such a topic would entail to be discussed about. But we will reflect on the tradition from the Commander of the Faithful and to see which one area at least that he speaks about in the tradition that we need to be aware of, that we need to be careful of. Because obviously, let's face it, that we, you know, are many times invited to places to go. Sometimes those places are good places, not just religious centers, but friends' homes for dinner, to play games, sports, you know, maybe board games, video games, to have good, wholesome, permissible pleasure and fun in life, maybe going to the park or, you know, to a vacation spot, whatever. But sometimes, unfortunately, we may be invited to go to places of ill repute, places where, you know, we may be involved in sin, either directly by performing the sins, or indirectly by being a party to those present, being a party to those who are indulging in sins, and we are present when they are engaged in those actions. How do we deal with this, and how do we understand this from the religious teachings? Well, let us share this hadith from the Commander of the Faithful and then come back with a brief understanding of taking part in gatherings of iniquity. The Commander of the Faithful says the following statement: the individual who believes in Allah and also believes in the last day will not go to a place or a gathering in which rayba is taking place. Now, we've left the word in the hadith rayba, in the tradition, in the Arabic, because it has a few different meanings as given by the commentator of this hadith. And so we kept it in the original text, but let's try to explain this word so we can better benefit from this tradition in English. As the hadith says, as a statement says, that a person who believes in God, believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, would never be seen, would never go to those gatherings in which this thing called rayba is present. At the first level, the commentator of the hadith, he mentions that rayba has a meaning of doubt or uncertainty. And the example he gives, or the explanation he gives to further elaborate on this hadith, is that a believer, man or a woman, young or old, if they believe in God and the Day of Judgment and obviously all of the principles of the religion, if they believe and are convinced and have conviction in the faith, they would not go to places of ill repute, places where their character may be challenged. Sometimes people have this opinion, especially the young men and women, that I'll go to, let's say, a bar or a nightclub, I'm just going to have a Coca-Cola, I'm not going to drink. I won't be affected by, you know, let's say the smoke or the drugs maybe that are being consumed in that place. I'm not going to let the music and the dancing get to me. I'm just going to have a Coke and hang out with my friends after work. And it's all good, wholesome, healthy, no problem. But we realize from this hadith that the scholar, as it's been explained and as the Imam has clearly said, that one who believes in Allah in the last day would not even want to be seen in such a gathering of doubt, of uncertainty, of impermissibility, being surrounded by the impermissible. Now, maybe it would not be a sin in and of itself to be in that gathering, but it is a gathering in which if people were to see you of the community, family, friends, co-religionists, they may begin to speak about you. And they may not be speaking, and I mean, what they would be saying would not be appropriate. It could border on gossip, on backbiting, and it could be a sin from that perspective. But we have to realize the fact that we live in a world today in which people do unfortunately talk about other people. Even if they're not allowed to from the religious perspective, many people do. And so what the point is that we want to get across is that we as believers should not do anything that would put our own character and reputation into question. Yes, we know people will speak, people will say things, but why do we give them ammunition to speak about us, to say things about us, even if they're not true, but that they would put a blemish on our character? That's the first understanding of this hadith and this word rayba, is that we should not be present in those gatherings where acts of iniquity against the rules of God are being performed. The second meaning of Raiba, according to the scholar who has offered the commentary of this tradition, is that Raiba means those gatherings in which there is a possibility that somebody will fall into sin. And he mentions that this word is usually used by jurists when they speak about the gatherings or sessions in which men and women who are not related to one another through blood or marriage take part in. And so he says that if we take the second definition of the word, it would mean that a person who believes in God in the last day would not want to go or will not go to gatherings in which there are people of the opposite gender who they are not related to, in which that gathering, that setting may be one in which sins will be performed. For example, even looking at a member of the opposite gender whom we are not related to, somebody, for example, a man goes to a wedding party, let's say, and it may be a Muslim wedding, so majority are within their hijab. But as we know, in weddings, men and women tend to dress up. Sometimes the hijab is completely removed. Makeup is there, jewelry is there. All of these things are present. Or on also for the men, I mean, women who are in that gathering as well, looking at men who are dressed in a nicer way, who have, you know, they've obviously got ready for this event. So Raiba in that context would be because there is a mixing of the genders, and even if there is some level of a hijab, but still the beautification is there on both the men and the women, that such a believer would not want to be in that gathering because there is a strong possibility that maybe no physical contact may happen, but just looking at the opposite gender and looking at one another may lead to things getting out of control. And so at the second level, as the commentary mentions, that the believer would keep away from those gatherings because of fear of falling into the traps of Satan and being enticed by a member of the opposite gender. Why is this so important? Well, a few reasons. One is that by us attending events, even if they're community events, part of the family, weddings, other celebrations, maybe even sometimes religious events, depending on how they're organized, by us going to them, and we know that they are flouting the rules of Islam, in essence, we are putting our stamp of approval on that event. People will say, well, see, that individual went, and they're religious. If it was not permissible, why would they go? And so we have to realize, although this logic is flawed, it's not a correct way to think, but people use this logic, and when they see people of character, of respect, of religiosity, and they are attending such events, it gives others a rubber stamp to say, well, they are going, so we should also go. That's one of the aspects that we have to keep in mind. The second thing to keep in mind is that when we attend such events, which are events in which the laws of God are being flaunted or broken even, that this gives such events a aura of permissibility. And slowly, time after time, you know, months, years will go by, and those events which were known to be impermissible will somehow become common within the community, and people will not even give it a second thought. Weddings are a prime example that we've gotten to a point in many communities within the world today, in the East and the West, in which the wedding celebrations, which in the past used to be segregated by gender, have now become mixed events. With, you know, dinner served at the same table with men and women, some of our members going towards music in their parties, dancing in the program, serving alcohol because they have non-Muslim colleagues and friends who are coming to the wedding. And so because this has happened over time, people now just take it as being common, right? It's normal to do it. But had it been stopped in the initial stages, had people spoken out and not attended, boycotted, even if it's your brother, even your sister, even let's say your father is remarrying after the death of the first, you know, his first wife, or your mother is being remarried, or any family member, even if it means having to displease them, one has to do that. Because if they are breaking the rules of God, there can be no, we can't follow people, we can't please people at the sake of displeasing God. So had we stopped this in the very initial stages, we wouldn't be as, you know, at the crossroads of our community today, where people can openly have such weddings and, you know, put it on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, and people give them thumbs ups. Good work. You broke the rules of God. Mashallah. Very good work that you've done. We got to be careful. We got to stop it and nip the problem in the bud before it grows into an epidemic within our religious community. Another point that we see is that when we do such actions, and in today's day and age that they're spread through, you know, social media on a mass scale, that this begins to give other people, you know, encouragement to perform the same actions when they are ready to, you know, let's say get married. You know, it's different if one or two people did it in a wedding and it wasn't broadcast, it was done in a hall and it was done and finished. But now when you have 100, 200, 500, 1,000 people present and it's on the social media and more people see it, it gives others the encouragement and the courage to do the same thing within their lives, because they'll say, well, everybody's doing it, it's being done in the open, it's on social media, what's the big deal? So again, these issues can snowball and have a detrimental effect to our community and to our personal religious conviction and our strength in following the religion of Islam. And last but not least, we'll end with this, is that this gives the devil, Satan, further ammunition to use against us, to push us towards even greater levels of sinning. And as we know, he's ever present, and when we give him such fuel to add to the flame of his animosity for humanity, he will further try to persuade us to go even a step further, to break even other prohibitions within the religion. And so as we close, we have to realize the dangers of sins, the dangers of just going with the flow. We need to nip these problems right when they begin, and we need to ensure that we follow our religious teachings in every aspect of our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah.